Oops, I just abruptly ended that. But that's well, okay.
Welcome back after a month.
Pardon our construction.
Oh, Jesus, man. Pardon our construction is right.
That rolls.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Misguided Shenanigans. Of course, I'm Finny, my brother from another mother, Nick. And today we have a special guest, Austin, who is here to kind of talk all things NFL draft with us. So, Austin, you've got your own TikTok channel and some things that that you do. Why don't you introduce yourself to the folks?
Yes, correct. My name is Austin. I am an honored guest to be on this show. Finny, you are a great guy. It's been great knowing you, and I'm glad that we're here. Nick, we just met for the first time, but I can already tell the chemistry is ablaze. I make sports content, specifically fantasy football, but I usually cover basically just any news that's going on with the football NFL realm, all the way leading up to the draft as well. So most recent, I have a TikTok. That is my mainstream, you know, shout out to the Gen Zs and the young millennials. That's what we're going with. So Analyst Aust, how you spell it out there, A-U-S. It's short for Austin. Analyst Aust is what my TikTok is. And then you could follow me on Twitter as well at Aust, V-A-N-O.
Nice. Sweet.
So what you're telling me is that we're the old men on this show, Finny.
You know, I figured, you know, add a young buck, liven it up, you know, get some youth in here. And hey, you know, I need some help when it comes to fantasy football. So I'll use Austin to help cheat my way to the top there.
There it is.
And
I'm
nice.
So the NFL draft, it's usually supposed to be this grand spectacle, right? And, you know, we all have our teams that we're rooting for. As you can see, we're all wearing T-shirts and jerseys and such. And so let's kick off with how our teams did. So.
Yeah. Yeah, let's get started. So we have the Lions and the Falcons. We'll start with that. I am a Redskins, Washington football team, Commanders fan, all in one. Now the Commanders, we say Commanders because we have to support the brand. But yeah, we could definitely start with any team. We could start with the Falcons and just what the draft is in general. For anyone that's a casual fan, the draft is a spectacle where your girlfriend or your wife usually is wondering what's going on, maybe getting mad at you. If you're a super fan, then your significant other has an expectation of what this means, almost as a national holiday added on in America, I would say. So yeah, let's kick it off with the Falcons. The Falcons, they are a great franchise. They have a great stadium. They have a great owner, but they're in a rebuild. And that's the truth of it. They had a good record last year, but that was because they have a possibly future Hall of Fame quarterback that is now with the Colts in Matt Ryan. So they made a lot of changes, but we could talk about the draft. And their first pick was wide receiver Drake London out of University of South California.
I thought that was a great pick because Ridley will never play in the NFL again. Like, that guy's done. You never bet on your own games. Don't know why he did it. Like,
I don't know what that was.
Like, and he did it. He pulled the Pete Rose.
They got money, bro.
But he bet they were going to win. And he wasn't even playing in some of those games. Like dude, come on.
Idiocy.
You know you're not supposed to do it. You know.
Yeah. So that was a need there. And, you know, Drake London is actually coming off an ankle fracture, but he was still the first wide receiver taken off the board. And that's, I would possibly say a lot of people had him high on the board because he's only 20 years old. He's 20 years old. Mm. He's a double sport athlete. He played basketball, had some scholarships for basketball, didn't have as many as football, chose to go with football, and had a great season, a couple seasons there at SC. And he's 6'4", 220 pounds. So if you follow the team, the Falcons drafted Kyle Pitts, who was they called a unicorn hybrid tight end last year. So they're playing basketball over there in Atlanta with these 6'4", 6'6 guys. And yeah, I mean, they ended up scooping up a quarterback later in the round. So maybe that's their answer.
I think so. I think when I look at his game film and I look at his tape, like my thought was, is
hold on now. Who I missed the quarterback pick. Who did they pick for at quarterback?
Yes, the quarterback is Desmond Ridder, who is out of the University of Cincinnati.
Ooh, good.
Solid guy. A lot of experts, analysts, they say that this class is not heavy, but it's notorious for every professional to just miss on quarterbacks. It's one of the hardest positions to grade.
I think, too, I thought he was the best quarterback in the draft, but you can't expect him to start. I don't think any quarterback that came out of this draft was starting material. I think if you're looking for, you know, a Russell Wilson, an Aaron Rodgers, a Mahomes, someone that can sit a half a season to a full season, learn the system and grow, and then become your full-time starting franchise quarterback, I think he's your guy. If you're expecting him to start day one, I think he's going to fail like all the rest. But what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I love those expectations. I think so much, you know, in football, you know, it's a very toxic sport in terms of we want what we want. Yep. It's very on demand. You talk to some, you get on Twitter, possibly you're on YouTube, you see these fans, and if there's not instant gratification or success, get them out of there.
Yep.
But that's not how it works. That's not how it works. This is still a professional athlete. This is still a human being, and he needs to learn the playbook, get used to the city, get used to the coaching staff, and you know, become that leader in the locker room before they build that confidence. They all have the skill set, right? They're all there. They're all in the league. So at this point, I think Ridder was the perfect quarterback. I actually had him as my QB1. And that's just because he has the most wins. A lot of people wanted to talk down upon him because he had a bad game against Alabama. Well, you know, Alabama was in the national championship and had the best defense in college besides that Georgia team. So you call it what you want. I think it was a great pick. And I think the Falcons had a great draft because they addressed a lot of needs as well.
Well, with Mariota, they have similar playing styles. So it's a similar system. And, you know, Mariota is going to be healthy to start. How long he'll last, that's always the question with Mariota. His health is what really has hurt his career. So when the inevitable happens, hopefully he's made it long enough for Ridder to be able to learn and then can take over the reins there, kind of like Hubert did over in LA now, the Chargers.
Yeah. Herbert was great for them. And you know, there's a lot of perspectives that you could take a look at this. If you're an owner or a general manager, just to be straight up and 100% transparency, you start Mariota. Let's say he wins 5-6 games. You get a high draft pick next year, and it's supposed to be a really good quarterback class. Mm-hmm. Let's say Desmond Ridder develops. You also look well, and you start him, and he wins you some games because you took him at a valuable pick, I think, in the third round this year. So either way, as an owner or general manager, you're coming out of this as a business, right? It's not personal. It is a business. So if the Falcons don't do well, then they have skilled positions, and then they could get another quarterback next year in a more highly rated class.
Yep, very true. Cool. Well, let's
see. Austin, I fucking like this guy.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Your shit, man. I don't know my shit. I like him.
Well, we could get into your shit right now. We have Michigan Lions right there.
Yeah, man. Number two pick, baby.
The number two pick. If you are a Lions fan, you know that there is some kind of ominous, I feel, feeling, spirit. A black almost.
Cloud.
A black cloud. I have some friends that are Lions fans. They are from Michigan. I have some friends that went to Eastern Michigan, actually.
Oh, yeah.
In Ypsilanti. So I know them. I know that they follow more Michigan and that they also are Lions fans. And there's this black cloud. But whatever you want to say, the new head coach there and Dan Campbell and his new regime, biting kneecaps off that whole thing that he had last year, that interview, they're doing it. They're doing it because they're building what it seems like a really good roster. They just got to put some wins together. And, you know, Jared Goff went to the Super Bowl. But if he can still develop as a player, I mean, the Lions went 3-13-1 last year, but played a competitive season, I would say, and had some bright spots. Aiden Hutchinson, I think, was the best player. The Jaguars did a Jaguar thing, personally. And
yes, they did.
they took more of a question mark. He has a Trevon Walker has intangibles. You know, he's athletic. He's this impressive guy. But Aiden Hutchinson has the production. So you guys got a steal, in my opinion, there.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I thought, and I had a feeling if Georgia didn't, or if Jacksonville didn't pick him, he'd be coming here. He'd be going home, yeah. Which I was excited about. I mean, you know, one of the best edge rushers in college football, period.
Yeah. Period.
Period. Yeah. Hands down, which is one of the needs that we had to have.
When's the last time you had a good edge rusher?
Oh, boy.
It's been decades, hasn't it?
At least a decade. Yeah, it's been a long time. I couldn't even tell you the last at least big name edge rusher we had.
No, there was a Bouquet or something, I think, that you guys have, and he was a great edge rusher production. But if we're talking about a premier talent, someone that you expect to come in and you want him to get 11 to 12 sacks and wreck a game, no, there has not been that in Detroit. Not even in the Matthew Stafford, Calvin Johnson era, that was still an offensive team. There was, so, you know, but let's get into more of the nitty gritty here. And what I like about Dan Campbell, the head coach, is that, not only that, but he traded up and you guys grabbed Jameson Williams, who projected to be the best wide receiver if he didn't tear his ACL in the championship game. And I thought that was a steal as well.
I agree with you 100%. And like I was, you know, I follow the Lions and everything on social media, and everybody ripped Dan Campbell and our GM, and I get it. Like, I mean, look at our past wide receiver drafts. Yes. Charles Rogers, complete shit. he was the Michigan State guy. I mean, Calvin was the last true like great wide receiver that we picked in the draft. I mean, every other year it was some fucking bum that came in, either got in trouble or just didn't produce. Yeah. So I think this is great. Everybody hated it because, you know, the kids hurt and they traded up to get a wide receiver. Well, guess what? Jared Goff has no fucking wide receivers to throw to.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, besides Amon-Ra St. Brown, who is stellar.
He's great.
Stellar.
The other thing is with ACLs, you know, let's look 10 years ago, somebody has an ACL, they're gone for the whole season. They're out for a year, year and a half. Nowadays, you tear an ACL, you're back during like preseason or game one now. Like, it doesn't take as long to heal. Surgery and the procedures are a lot better. You see players bounce back all the time. Like, you know, why not take a chance?
No, I thought it was fantastic. I don't understand why the Lions fans got so pissy about it, but you know, it is what it is. I was ecstatic about it, you know, and then we picked up a bunch more defensive guys. I mean, a couple defensive ends. We picked up a tight end from Virginia Tech. Like, you know, it was mainly defense this year. And I think that's great because we ranked 32nd overall in scoring defense. And I think 31st in rushing defense. 29th in allowed yards.
Got it. So It all makes sense because if you look at it, a lot of people were linking a quarterback to the Lions. And, you know, I guess that would have been nice, but not this year. And it just doesn't make sense because Jared Goff is a serviceable quarterback. I mean, he went to a Super Bowl. Yes, he had the boy wonder McVay over there in L.A. helping him. But I think Jared Goff is capable. And Amon-Ra St. Brown, as you said, stellar, another SC guy. So it looks like SC is putting out these wide receivers. So that's a good sign for the Falcons there. Most notable what I have down here is, let's see, Penei Sewell, tackle out of Oregon, was great. Yep. He's a monster. He even stood up to Aaron Donald somewhere in the season. And Aaron Donald doesn't get bullied as much. That was great. That's good.
He almost beat the Rams. We almost beat him.
There it is.
I mean, I don't think
Ravens as well.
Yeah,
I don't think it wasn't for that crazy field goal.
Yeah, and I don't think we lost a game. I think this was another season where we didn't lose a game by like more than 7 points. There might have been one. You know what I mean? So like, it's been competitive, and I don't think Jared Goff's a bum. I think he's a good quarterback. You know, he had no weapons.
when you lose Matthew Stafford, most of the time you're thinking, well, okay, here comes a rookie. No, you get a quarterback that's won NFC championship and that's been to the Super Bowl. So I don't think that's bad at all. You guys have notable players on your team. Like I said, it's a lot of it is just the fan base, the expectations. A lot of people are scarred in football and they love that scar tissue that they carry with them because that's part of the game. Yep. But if they could, you know, have more of an objective look to it, there's definitely something to be proud about there and what's going on. And this season's going to be exciting, I think, for the Lions and for the Falcons.
Oh, I agree. I agree. I think there's a fire, at least in the office, which is going to translate down to the players with Dan Campbell. I mean, the guy is ruthless. Yes. He's brutally honest, which is what the Lions haven't had in years. Like, I want to say Wayne Fonts was probably the last, like, super honest guy that we had, like, outspoken, you know, and I think it's awesome. But I could spend all day talking about Detroit. So let's get to your Washington Commanders.
Yes, yes. So let's talk about the experience a little bit. So my dad is from Virginia, Maryland area. Okay. It's funny because he chose to be a Terrapins fan, which is in Maryland for the college. He could have chose the Ravens, but I think when he was growing up, the Redskins were the team.
Yeah.
And ironically enough, they are not that team anymore. Yeah. And haven't been for a while. Our last playoff win was in 2005. And if you know anything about the Commanders currently, our owner, Dan Snyder, catches a lot of grief for what he's been going on in terms of maybe some scandals. Sexual assaults, harassment, things.
That's just true DC politics right there.
Right? It goes with the city. And, you know, it's very unfortunate. I'm someone that's an advocate of, yes, we love football. There are things we joke about, definitely. But, you know, a guy like that, you got to get out of there. And if it's tied to success, then even more so. The Commanders, the name was a transition. Part of it feels like a cover-up. Part of it feels like makeup. But, you know, I am a truthful, and I will stick by the Commanders and hopefully by Ron Rivera, who's a good coach, has a lot of diversity hires. I think that we're headed in the right direction.
Rivera's a great coach.
Who do you guys have starting at quarterback for you this year?
Yeah, so we have Carson Wentz. That's the big topic there. Carson Wentz. Dude.
Ooh.
Jeez.
That's rough.
And we traded a third-round pick and a compensatory pick that can, depending on how many games he starts, which he will start for us unless he gets hurt, it will be a second-round pick next year. So that was another thing that the Commanders addressed in the draft is they actually traded from the 11th spot, which our fan base is pretty mad about, traded back to 16, and they ended up getting that third-round pick back and a couple others as well. But I would say our fan bases and our teams are all in a similar places. We're in year three of the rebuild with Ron Rivera. He's been 7-10 both years, so losing season, but we have that division win, our division title his first year because our division isn't that great. However, he needs a winning season, and if he isn't, you know, our fans will throw a ruckus. I don't think they'll storm the Capitol again, but, you know, I think they'll definitely throw trash cans around or something like that, maybe. Throw mean names on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Starts the trash can fires. Yeah, man. Yeah.
I feel like Rivera likes defensive-minded teams and a solid run game, too. And if you're if you're looking for Wentz to come in and put the game on his shoulders, like, he's proven he's not your guy. Couldn't do it in Philadelphia. Couldn't do it in Indianapolis, but in Philadelphia, where he had his most success, when it wasn't him, it was the team.
Yeah,
he did well. He did very well. And again, another serviceable quarterback. So you pop him in, and if the team is able to win, then you just need a guy to throw the ball that won't turn it over, won't make big mistakes. And I think he's your guy. He could actually pan out, especially for what y'all did with your draft picks. I think that was pretty ingenious.
Thank you. Yeah, I hope it works out. I think that, like we said, the fan base wants instant gratification. Wentz is the best quarterback that we've had since one-leg Alex Smith. No disrespect, he's a soldier. But since one-legged Alex Smith, and then, since Kirk Cousins in the 2015-2016. So for five or six years, we haven't had anybody that's a starter caliber quarterback, and it's been in rotation. So is he the guy? Probably not the guy, but he's definitely, I think, could get us a winning record and possibly in playoffs with the weak division that we're in, you know, going always rotating in terms of where the teams are with the win and loss column there.
I mean, you look at Trent Dilfer, probably one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL to ever win a Super Bowl, So,
yeah,
you know, you never know.
Well, and Wentz has been there.
Yep.
He's been there.
Goff's been there. Like there's definitely hope. But like you said, Austin, I mean, it comes down to, like, you know, I'm 42 years old. I've been a Lions fan since I was, you know, a child.
Yeah.
Been fucking disappointment after disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. You know, I mean, even with Stafford, as great as he is, jumps ship and, well, doesn't jump ship, but goes over to LA and freaking rocks
and wins the Super Bowl.
Like, yeah. I mean, you know, so you can't tell me that we didn't have talent when he was in Detroit, because we did have some talent, but there was no defense, which I think we rectified in the draft this year. I there was just no defense, you know, and we didn't have a run game. We didn't have a run game.
A little bit off topic here. As a Lions fan, how do Lions fans feel about Stafford? I feel like they sort of support him in that.
Oh, a majority of us absolutely were rooting for Stafford. I've got a Rams championship shirt upstairs in my closet.
That's awesome. I think that's respectful and commendable, to be honest.
What he did not only for the football team, but what he did for the city of Detroit.
Yeah.
Is more than I feel like a lot of other maybe Hall of Famers have done for the city of Detroit.
Right.
You know, going way back, you know, to Barry Sanders and whoever else, but Chris Spielman. But I think a majority of us were really excited to see him do so well and win a Super Bowl. We did want to beat them.
Yeah.
I wanted to beat the Rams in the regular
season. Yeah.
I wanted to beat them. But, you know, to see him come out and then raise that Super Bowl trophy, man, like, I was in the living room crying. I was like, holy shit, this is awesome. Like, it's awesome. He's a great guy, killer family, you know, great people. And he was able to get it done. So, you know, hopefully this year, maybe he'll be able to repeat, unless he comes up against the Detroit Lions. And then we don't want that, but.
Right on.
So I got something to bring up. And Austin, I saw this on one of your TikTok videos, and I did not realize this. And I thought this was kind of crazy, but you mentioned Drake, the rapper.
Yes.
Made a Vegas bet. Tell us a little bit about that, because I thought this was kind of crazy.
Yeah, I will say that. So Drake, obviously an influencer and a rapper, a leader in pop culture, you would say. He made a bet personally because Drake London, the receiver you drafted, went to a very popular basketball school, and he was actually on the same team as LeBron's son, Bronny James. That's sort of how he got into that fame, along with his sister, Michaela London, who is this very beautiful girl, but who is a social media influencer. So the thing about Drake London is that he sort of has that fame, that, like, that pressure, sort of that the eyes on him, but was the younger brother. And so Drake betted on this guy, right? Sort of knew him around. I don't know how well they know each other, but he betted on him for the name. It's, you know, funny. And then I also believe because he knew who he was. And yeah, he ended up winning. I think he posted it was like $1 million or north of $1 million. And the reason being is because Drake, Aubrey Graham, the rapper, has recently been getting endorsed by these casino gambling companies' applications. One of them is called Stake. It's actually European based or UK based, so it's not available to us in the United States. But yeah, they're trying to create new ways for football, gambling, and some kind of following there to go hand in hand.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting. And he won the bet basically because he was the first receiver drafted. Was that what the bet was
correct.
For?
Correct. That was the bet. And he bet on him to be the first wide receiver off the board. And I do a bit of sports gambling as well. And I actually did that same bet, but won about $40. So it was nothing compared to what he was doing. But But yeah, so, but I also, I mean, it balanced out because I actually went against myself and bet it on someone else too, because you just didn't know. The reason being is because actually as a Commanders fan, I wanted Drake London. So that was also, there. And I didn't think he was going to fall to 11, but you know, anything in sports with that comes with jinxing or crossing fingers, you got to do.
So let me ask, I want to ask one question here. I know we don't have too much time left. What do you think about these sports betting sites becoming sponsors for professional leagues?
Oh man.
For me, it's tough because I feel like now there's a lot more room for people to throw games, you know, not saying it's going to happen. Maybe it hasn't happened. Maybe it's happened. I don't know. That's my biggest fear, right? Like I want to see a good hard fought game. I don't want to see somebody throw that shit. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like Paul Crew in The Longest Yard.
Thank you. Harvard. That's what I was trying to think of.
Yeah,
exactly right.
Yeah. Not like that. Yeah, you know, I think like for the NIL, for specifically these college players, athletes, like it's hard to pick a side. It's hard to pick a side because these kids have been exploited for years, right?
Yeah.
In that aspect, and our stars, Reggie Bush, right? These things, and then they're stripped away if they're, you know. Reggie Bush is an outstanding citizen, never really been in jail or never really been in the news, things along that nature, was a great college player and had that Heisman stripped away. So they're like going back, there's these perspectives. I don't know. You want to blame capitalism, you know, but you want to say that, you know, this is what America does. Like sports entertainment is our thing and we're just monetizing it even more. We're taking advantage of the sports gambling. So it's like a great opportunity too. Yeah. You know, it's all going to be individualistic based off your morals, based off what you look at, where you are, where in terms of the fan, being a fan of the sport. I have a friend actually who is a successful sports bettor as of recent. And by 2-3 years has really profited, you know, that personal, we won't say anything, but does he know sports now? No, I don't think he knows shit, to be quite frank. he knows how to bet, but if we have some sports conversations, I don't think he knows shit compared to what he used to know. And ironically, he's a Raiders fan, so that's the funny part too. But Vegas, right? But yeah, I, again, it's going to be individual. You could pick your side. I'm all for that. But, you know, for me being – quote unquote analyst Oss, I definitely have to look at things objectively, and I just have to hope that the integrity of the game stays there. You know, because there's so much fucked up things in football as well that the love of the sport is what keeps us, and mm-hmm. we just sort of try to maintain that humanitarian outlook, because it's, you know, it's on the borderline sometimes. It's cross, you know. So.
Oh yeah. Oh, it is.
I fear that what's happened to Ridley will happen to other players, I think he's going to be made an example of because of what's happening with sports betting and kind of getting that in. I wonder if they will throw the book and everything, like bury him 6 feet under and be like, look, your career's dead. Everyone will know this as the Ridley rule. Like, you're done because of all this coming about. So it doesn't happen again.
Yeah. Well,
and it goes back to Pete Rose in baseball too.
Yep.
Right. I mean,
never throw a game, but bet that his team would win because he bet that his team would win.
Yep.
Which, I have mixed feelings about stuff like that. Like, yes, you shouldn't do it. You know the rules.
Yeah.
But right. If you're betting your team won, like, that means you're trying harder. There's nothing you can do to cheat there, right? Like,
believe in yourself.
I mean, there's stuff you could do. You could be talking to other players. Like, I mean, there's
that's
stuff.
True.
That's true. But it's not like throwing a game where it's like, I want us to lose, so I get 500 grand. So right. I'm going to throw an interception, right? Or I'm going to fumble the ball. Like, I'm going to trip. Like, I don't know. I think I have a problem with lifetime bans for people like Pete Rose when they didn't do anything to hurt the game. They just broke a rule. And I think that's where my line kind of stays with it.
Yeah. No, I agree. But listen, guys, we'll wrap this up for our proverbial draft special. Austin, I want you to go ahead and plug again, please, your TikTok.
Yes. My TikTok is Analyst Oss. So that is going to be A-N-A-L-Y-S-T-A-U-S. Analyst Oz at TikTok. I put out content daily. So yeah, even if it's a short clip about maybe some fantasy rankings, or if we're just talking about the latest news, I made a skit the other day on the wide receiver market and the drama of wide receivers and their money. So that was funny too, but mostly breaking down players and what I think of teams.
Awesome. I love it. Finney, what else you got, brother? You want to close us out?
Yeah, I got one final question to close us out with, which is, all right, new team name, right, for the Redskins are now the Washington Commanders. Yes. I'm going to have the worst time, like, remembering Commanders versus Redskins, because that's what I grew up knowing them as. But what is your hope for future mascots? I just, and I'll preface this by saying, I picture a crimson red Cobra Commander coming out on the field.
That'd be dope.
Yeah, that would be. So I've actually seen a Cobra Commander, and then I've also seen people using the Mandalorian as the Commandalorian for any Star Wars geeks out there. That'd be cool. I think personally that they're going to make alterations with the W because we're the Redskins to sort of stay away from any kind of picture image. But I do think they could add nuances. You know, I think that like a lot of teams that we have three jerseys and they all sort of look different. So I think that they're going to end up going with one in the marketing scheme. They'll follow it there. Yeah. If we could do any type of like a silhouette of a commander, maybe someone like this, I think that'd be pretty badass.
Nice. Awesome.
I love it.
Love it. Well, on that note, thanks everyone for tuning in. Check out Austin's TikTok videos. They're pretty entertaining and a lot of insightful factual information. Super impressed with all that you do, Austin. And we'll have to have you on again when the season kicks off and it gets close to fantasy time.
Oh, I would love that. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me, Finney. Thank you for having me, Nick. It's been an honor.
Cool.
Awesome, man.
All right, guys. All right, on we'll that catch you note. On the clip.